Hello, guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Blackspin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene Allen, and I'm very, very pleased to say I have special guest and friend of the pod, Tamani Carriol, joining me.
Long time friend.
How
I'm good. Good
you doing,
back.
Tamani? I love that, exactly. Long time friend.
Yeah. No,
How you doing?
it's been a long time since I've been coming on the pod, but also a long time since I've been on. So that's probably my bad. So I'm happy to be back.
No, it's listen, you've been busy up and down Cincinnati. Now you're in New York. Like, basically, guys, and apologies as well. I've been slacking. I'll just say that. Obviously, I did like a quick reaction to the final of Cincinnati. So Arthur Fils beating Francis Tiafoe in that historic final, and Coco Gauff winning the women's title for the second time. But yeah, I've not been on basically since prior to that tournament. But the main reason why I have Tamani on is because he was on the grounds like throughout the whole thing. So yeah, Tamani, I kind of want to start in Cincinnati actually. Just from your perspective, like how was it being there? And yeah, like talk about Arthur Fils kind of winning his the biggest title to date, like of his career.
I mean, first of all, it's just a historic, tournament to be at, right? I've been, I grew up playing tennis when I was younger. Been following it for years and years and years. When I was younger, I was in style. Generally, in terms of the black players, I was inspired by the Williams sisters, of course. And, there've been many great black players on the WTA for a long time, like a few that preceded the Williams. And then, of course, since the Williams, have been more and more. But, never really come close to an event like this where you have two black players facing each other in the final, in a Masters final. So it was a big moment, and it was a moment because of how well both of them played through the tournament, right? I guess I'll start with Francis, I guess, because he had a crazy time. Had surgery on his hand, on his wrist, to remove a cyst from his wrist that would had been bothering him at Wimbledon, and then when he tried to play in Washington DC at home, and I think it was only like 8 days before the tournament, he had the procedure. He said he didn't think he was going to, play in Cincinnati, but then he decided, and the doctors were saying, prepare for the US Open, blah blah blah, but he decided to, at the last moment, to just come, to come to Cincinnati. He's a seed, why not? He'll have extra time. Then he was training, and then he was like, he had a few of the they have this like famous steakhouse,
Thank
Jeff
you,
Room.
Chris. Guillaume Fils is on his way
Sorry.
to Wimbledon.
Get on feet on his way to
Monfils,
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
But yeah,
Oh.
so he had a few steaks at this famous steakhouse in Cincinnati, and he was like, "Well, I'm here. I'm eating good. Why don't I play?" And he played some amazing tennis, and I think it was really like it, obviously this year he's made so many changes to his team. He's like tried to like he's really focused on becoming a of being able to perform week after week and really committing himself and going, pushing himself further than he had in the past. And but he was still waiting, I think, for a big result, a big event. Like he'd won Halle on
Biggest
grass,
title to date was which is Halle, exactly, ATP 500.
But he was waiting for a big result at 1,000 or a slam, and that finally came. Under these, unusual and unexpected circumstances, but he played great the whole week, beat quality players. Against his match against Felix, he was flawless. So
Straight
again, same with like
sets.
same with Musetti, same with Nakashima. He had one tough 3-set match against Elena Tien. It was a obviously the draws are really open now because Sinner is injured and Alcaraz is still coming back, but well, hadn't yet come back, but. These are tough draws, and he played great. So, like, kudos to him. I think he himself said, it's not like he kind of essentially said, I'm not about being August foe anymore. I want to, I'm performing week after week, and that should really, also help him coming into, the US Open and this big massive event where he obviously has performed so well in the past. I guess what do you think about Francis? And then we'll
No,
talk
like
about
I think
Fils a
everything
bit.
you said is spot on. I think as well, in terms of like you said, the kind of changes he's made to his team this year, like it has paid off. And just his kind of mindset slash mentality as well. Like there's been a shift. And the results that it's clearly shown in the results. Like we said, Halle, him winning Halle early in the season. The one in Cincinnati, for me, and you mentioned it, the cyst, having the cyst removed. I mean, he posted saying that it was something that was bothering him for a while. Like, I was thinking to myself, like, how on earth, like, had he been managing like all that time basically to play at the level he's been playing at? Because he had a pretty good, he was having a decent season, like up until that point. Obviously, he retired in Washington, which is unfortunate. But yeah, to come back off the back of that and then win. Sorry, it wasn't in Washington he retired. It was it Canada that he retired?
Yeah, he didn't play Canada then.
No, he retired. He retired in Canada against Mindiknech, in the sec after the, in the second set. So yeah, to then come back immediately in Cincinnati and make the final for the second time, we should say as well, because he did make the final in 2024, I believe, where he lost to Sinner. Clearly, he likes the conditions in Cincinnati. But yeah, just in terms of that final, I mean, Fils was just playing just, I'm going to say, the best tennis in the field, like in terms of just all week or 2 weeks now, these Masters 1000, well, Masters 1000s being 2 week events. But it wasn't a massive surprise, like, to see Fils come out on top. But yeah, just for France's massive, massive kudos, 100%, because for me, he's shown now that he is more of a serious, I say serious, that's probably not the right term, but I think players now are going to take him more seriously, basically, as and look at him as more of being more of a threat, because he's got the game, and Cincinnati showed that. So yeah, massive, massive props. And again, from the kind of historic point of view of it being an All Black final, I want to say it was the seventh ATP Tour final in terms of All Black, and the first at Masters 1000. So that, and again, like you said, for a long time we've been blessed on the women's side of having a lot of women kind of at the top of women's tennis, like winning the bigger events, not just 1000s but Grand Slams as well. Like, we're still searching for that on the men's side, but it does feel like we're closer than we've ever been before. And it's truly, it's really, really exciting, like, honestly. And I'm looking forward to, like, obviously this US Open, which you're on the grounds for. But it, for me, like, I say we, there's definitely a realistic chance, an opportunity for a black player to win. And that's, we've not been able to say that for a while. And it's not just one, it's a few.
And so yeah, I agree, and I think, I mean, clearly the one of the main contenders is Feast. And man, what a guy.
I know
What a
Fils is your guy,
guy.
so yeah,
But
like, just
just
what impressed you the most about Arthur Fils?
yeah. I mean, I've just been so impressed with him in general, dating back to the past, like, since he came back in February. He had this catastrophic injury, really.
Nine months out.
Yeah, 9 months out, stress fracture to his back. That obviously forced him to re retire from the French Open. He was out for 9 months, and I mean, after such a big injury, just getting back to the level you were before is challenging. But not only did he do that, he came back better. He changed so much in his game, which I think really just showed what he's about and where he wants to go. He changes his serve, he's lengthened his motion, he's lowered his ball toss, he's changed his forehand. He's made it shorter so it can absorb pace. He's changed his movement, so now he's like he re really w wanted to learn how to slide like to his back end, like an open stance, so he can defend better and attack from that those positions. He's dropped weight so that there's less stress on his body
I was
and
going to
on
say,
his
yeah, the
back.
diet. He's also made a lot of tweaks, like, in his diet as well.
And he's, in general, he's just become more mature, and I think it's kind of been the making of him, even though it was such a tough, being out for so long is so tough. And so, I mean, it was crazy already how he hit the ground running, in terms of, I mean, so soon into the comeback, he was making quarters in the New Worlds and semis in Miami, then semis in Madrid, and just playing great tennis consistently. Win it, well, obviously won Barcelona, another 500 title. And but obviously, again, the level's super high. He's his forehand is the biggest on tour by far. Like, I was actually like, I spoke to him a lot in Cincy, and one time I was like, because it just came to me. I was explaining to him how, like, when in the graphs for like, with the like in terms of speed and spin, like top spin, his forehand is by far the biggest, and on these graphs, like you, all the other players are bunched around him, and his is like
Way up
his
on
ace
his
is like
own.
in the corner, yeah, up in the top. But like it's so his game's so big, he's so explosive. He's but also like he has obviously the athleticism, the movement. I think he's really the only player who has those qualities like that can to the level that could potentially sometimes match Alcaraz and Sinner. Just the shot, you know, the raw shot making and you know power and weight of shot and also the athleticism. So yeah, but yeah, so he made those changes, but clearly the big issue has just been staying healthy, and that was you know we saw another reminder of that during the clay season when he couldn't play in when he got injured in Rome right at the beginning of his match, like the first game of the match, and then couldn't play in Roland Garros, and his you know and it's man you know the big issue for him is managing his body and making sure it, you know given how physical his game is that it can his body can last. And he, I think he's since then, and since you know he came back at Wimbledon, clearly his preparation, you know, he was just, you know, at Wimbledon he was just healthy. It wasn't, you know, he didn't have the, you know, he hadn't prepared in the ideal way to be able to play at the level he wants to.
Yeah, five set
But since then
tennis,
he
yeah.
did, he, yeah, but he did a great job of, you know, after Wimbledon building up again, and now he's playing great tennis, and he's such again, he's such a good player, and yeah, so in Cincinnati. Again, he played great tennis from start to finish, and was really, you know, leading into the final, he's really dominant against Caboli in the semi-final, against Demi Noor in you know in the round of 16, you know, great performances also against Tirante, and with the exception of the second set against TFO where his level dipped, you know, he was amazing, and just the serving again, as I said, the forehand, you know, it's massive. The ground game is massive, but I think the big issue within his game, or like what he needed to improve, was it's the kind of the first shot of every point, basically the serve and return. His serve is his return. You know, it can still, you know, there's still a lot of room for improvement,
Decent, yeah.
but with his serve, like it's always been quite average in terms of the you know the quality of it. But here and the last few weeks. It's been so good, and you're seeing like the consequences of the work that's gone in, you know, in the off season, and he's really focused on like placement or on hitting his spots, even taking power off the serve and just you know hitting his spots, and he was so precise, you know,
Do
so precise. It's,
you credit Goran Ivanisevic for that? Because obviously he's on
yeah,
the team, but he wasn't in Cincinnati with him. It was even
no,
Sinkus
yeah,
with him in Cincy.
I'm not. I think it's. I know people. I've seen like people saying that and. And it's funny in general, like a lot of like since Goran's come in, like a lot of attention's on Goran. Obviously, he amazing track record with Novak, and he massively improved Novak's serve as well. But I like I'm not sure, like I because I think like I've spoken to Arthur a lot this year, and he you know he's even basically Ivan is a very very strong character. Like he's very strong. He has his vision, and he's very strict as well. He's you know he's not. He's not afraid to like you know he'll shout Arthur down and tell him what he thinks basically and so definitely I think it's like but he also says that they're both on the same page with a lot of things and like the decision to make all these changes to his serve was kind of a collaborative decision between them so yeah I think you have to give credit to both of them and even I think definitely even still his main coach you know the coach who does the most was you know the most weeks on tour and travels with him the most. But so I think both of them. But yeah, again, like it's so much like it makes such a big difference, you know, with the way he plays, the aggression, the power of the ground. If you have a serve that can like anchor that, right, and win you 3 points, he won so many 3 points against TFO, and also set up his forehand and you know with the plus one shots and you know so.
The match that impressed me the most from that run in Cincy was against Tarante. Like,
Yeah.
for me, that would be the best I've seen him play. And I think he even said as well, that's probably the best match he's played like this season, because it was just clean. Like, and he just blew Tarante off the court. And Tarante is a big hitter as well. Like, but yeah, it was a pretty comfortable, I think, 6-3, 6-2 in just
Easy.
over an hour. Like, and then obviously, exactly, he then went on to beat Caboli in the semis again, straight sets. And then TFO was a three set match, but Fils was the better player, I'm going to say, for the majority of that match. Yeah, his level dropped in the second set, but for me, he was the favorite going in. even though he was the TFO was seeded higher, like he was the 17th seed, Fils
Yeah.
23rd seed. But yeah, now Fils is number 11 in the world, career high ranking, knocking on the door of the top 10. I for me, and you kind of alluded to it as well, Tamani, like this guy is a future top five player.
Yeah.
Like easy.
And
And I just hope he stays fit and healthy because exactly he can challenge those two.
for sure, 100%. And the thing is, I guess, like, what strikes me in general, and also like after you know, he just won his the biggest title of his career by far, a massive moment, and he was already talking like, you know, yeah, this is great, but I want more. Like, he's so like he is he's has so much self-belief. Like, he that this guy, and it's not in an arrogant way. It's in a like he believes in himself fully. He believes that he should be, you know, that he has the ability to be not just top five, but winning slams and everything. And like
Exactly.
he believes that with his whole chest. And it's funny, like, he's, you know, he's also not afraid to say that. I actually, you know, I asked him about that because, you know, some he'll say like not even they're not even like massive proclamations, but he just backs himself and he isn't afraid to say like, I want this, I want to do this. And some people, like, you know how people are, especially in tennis, like people don't like it when people when athletes are, you know, are just kind of blunt about
And
about their ambition.
confident, yeah.
And especially when it's a black athlete.
100%.
So but yeah, and he said, yeah, you know, if you have the courage to say these things out loud and be honest with them, then that will help you to achieve them. And
Yeah.
yeah, I really yeah I it's I find that impressive, that part of him. And it's also, you know, from his dad. His dad's been like a massive part of his career and kind of pushed him forward, and is strict in his own way, Haitian dad, as he said. So, but yeah, I mean, in general, I'm just, given kind of, you know, the trials he's had and the difficulties, like, I was just very happy for him, you know, because I've seen a lot of him, and I think he's a great guy. Like, I think he's a
Yeah.
very He's a very, very, very pleasant person to be around, to chat to see in the hallway, to chat nonsense about, but also, you know, to just to talk, you know, about tennis. And so, yeah, it's nice to see, you know, someone like that. And, you know, even here in the press, you know, you'll see like people, you know, talk to people who have spoken to him, and they're like, oh, I love him. He's so nice. He's so
He's
pleasant.
a
Like,
likable guy, yeah.
he's a really cool guy. And similarly, like, because of how confident he is, and because of, you know, how, you know, people view him as like a, you know, he's also there, he's there to win. That's his number one priority. But, you know, he's also a bit of a showman. He's a bit, you know, he's very charismatic on the court. And people see that, they see the confidence, and think again, also because he's a black man, sometimes that to some people that translates as arrogance. But so I think, like, for me, I think it's important to say, like, he's a super pleasant person, a super nice
Yeah,
guy.
no,
So.
well said to mine. Exactly. You're kind of on the tour like week in, week out. Like you see it. Yeah, you see it literally from a kind of different angle to a lot of people because exactly you see the person like kind of away from the court as well. So I think that's very important. You said that. But yeah, everything you said is in terms of his confidence, it's completely justified because the results literally speak for themselves. Like he's come back from this injury and literally picked up from where he's left off. If not, I'm going to say it almost surpassed expectation as well. Because
Oh, 100%, million, but like by far, I think.
to
Yeah.
win a Masters 1000 at 22 years of age and you've missed so much of the year, like he's only played, well, US Open will be his second Grand Slam, but he's missed two Grand Slams this year. And yet he's at a career high ranking. Like that for me just shows the talent for one, but also like you said, the belief this guy has, like in terms of being able to compete with the best week in, week out when he's fit. So
Yeah.
very, very excited for Arthur Fils. And yeah, massive, massive shout out to him and his father, like you said, Jean-Philippe,
Yeah.
strong Haitian man in the
Yeah.
corner. He wasn't
And
actually in Cincinnati, was he?
no, he wasn't. That's the funny thing, right? He's been, you know, with his son on tour the whole year, and then you know, one of the few
Biggest
tournaments
tournament.
he's not there. Yeah, he wins, but he's here in obviously in New
Yeah.
York,
No, I have
and he's
seen.
very, very as well. So yeah.
Yeah,
A
no,
good
shouts out to
family.
Jean-Philippe. We need to talk about Coco Gauff as well. So that was her second Cincinnati title, her first of this year. She beat Jessica Pegula fellow American in the final in straight sets. Coco, she seems like she's in a different place as well now, Tamani, in terms of like just her game, her confidence. Just again, what did you make of her kind of Cincinnati run? And like, yeah, where would you say her game's at right now, like compared to this time last year?
I mean, yes. I mean, that's the thing. Like, so this time last year, and actually during so during Cincinnati, because of the way the week, you know, the weeks are, the weeks shift year by year. The second week of Cincinnati was exactly the week that she was here at the U.S. Open. You know, before the tournament, just started working with Gavin McMillan. Was you
Wow,
know was ch ch changing changing her service motion
in
in the damn rain.
the
I remember it's funny. I remember I asked her about like that last year, like about her, how just how extreme it was that she was, and how committed she was, and how it showed that she was so committed that she was, you know, doing her like practicing her serve in the rain on the practice courts when no one else was there, and she was like,
Crazy.
oh no, it wasn't raining that much, but no, she, it was, you know, she was really putting in the hours and really, you know, did she it was serious. And obviously, she that this was a really tough. This was probably one of the toughest tournaments of her career here last year. She was because of she made such a massive change before the biggest tournament of her year. And she, you know, she and also with all the eyes and scrutiny that was on her, like she really felt it. And that's the first, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen her like before or after. I don't think I've ever seen her cry on court before as she did, you know, against Rekic. Like it was overwhelming in
Was
that
that
second
first or
round.
second round?
Second round, yeah. And she won the match in two sets, but like it's just like going on court and you know you're the one of the best tennis players in the world, and you're just terrified of missing. You know, you're just
Stressful.
the number one in your mind is, please can this serve go in? Please can this serve go in? It's brutal, and it's been a really long period. Like people in general, people want to see like change happen quickly. You know they'll see, you know, this for example, like with Goff and this technique change. Within a couple of months, people are like, oh, she's still hitting double faults. Even after 6 months in February this year, she had a whole off season, you know, had another slam, yet she was still in Dubai. You know, she at one point she hit a double fault and she turned to McMillan and was like, I've been following, you know, what you say for six months now. And still like what's, you know, nothing's changed. So it's been a really long process. It's obviously been really testing for her, but now we're really seeing kind of the consequences of
Paying
that
off,
work, and particularly for someone her age, like I think in general, you know, players like Novak has shown that you can change your service motion, you know, constantly. Sorry, I just take a quick glimpse of Gael Monfils. Like he's doing the rounds of interviews right now with, you know, with the broadcasters and just grinning. You can just see his teeth because that's how
Oh,
he is.
no.
But yeah, she's a. Yeah, we've seen how other players have changed their, you know, technique and service motions over their careers. But for Goff, you know, at her age, you know, 22 now, 21 back last year, like that, this is the time you really should be making those changes. If you want to be the best player, you can be. But yeah, that's all to say that in come into Cincinnati, and she's been playing well. And you know, we've seen her like her level and confidence rise for a while, and in general, there are a few setbacks. Like the, you know, her loss in the French Open wasn't, you know, wasn't great, but in the third round, but like we've seen kind of just her level rising, and I think Wimbledon was really a really significant moment for her. Just in terms of she obviously she'd lost in the first round the last few years, made it to all the way to the semi-finals, could have gone further, but she played well. She, you know, she
Had
was
match point against Mukova, didn't she?
had match point for 400 drop shot. But she was there, and she the good thing is that she really took the positives from that, and she also like the I think the one significant thing from her Wimbledon run was how often she came to the net. Like she was constantly coming to the net, and she has continued that, you know, through the
On the
hard courts
hard
run,
courts, yeah, it was brilliant to see.
so yeah, and so she was strong in Toronto, made the semis, lost in three sets to Elena Rybakina, happens. And then she came to Cincinnati and played one of the best tournaments of her life. I think that's, you know, that and as she said, that and Wuhan, where
Oh,
last year where
clean.
she rolled through the draw. Because I mean, the thing we know with Goff is that, you know, so often in her career, she's, you know, a lot of her biggest wins have come from the grind and you know, making life
Scrappy.
difficult for opponents and scrapping and showing her mental strength and her defense. And you know, it's not always. I mean, frankly, it's not always pretty, and it's not always, you know, straightforward. So, but here, like, this was about her quality, and it's like purely about her quality. and about the fact that now she's comfortable with her serve. Now she's not terrified that she's going to miss, second serves every time she steps up to the baseline. Now she's really going after her first serve. She was, she's cranking it up above 120.
Weapon.
She's got,
It's looking like a weapon.
yeah.
It's
And
looking like
against,
a weapon.
and she played her best match against Pegula, one of the best returners in the world. And again, she was going after her first serve the whole time, like just no doubt in her mind. As she said, like the only time she, obviously if as all players do, like if your first serve percentage drops and you're not getting first serves in, maybe you try and, you try some kick or you mix it up a bit and take some pace off. But otherwise, she's going after it because she wants to hurt people with her serve. And I think that also kind of just bleeds into the rest of her game and just has made her, there's just a lot less stress on her side of the court with that one massive issue, under control at the moment. So yeah, I thought she played brilliantly and just the whole tournament. She lost the first set of the tournament to Lyudmila
Samsonova.
and then ran the table, then just it didn't lose another set. And yeah, play great. Again, play great against Pegula, also play great against, an underdog, Sara Bielik in the semi-final. Just, whether she was the heavy favorite or not, she was there. And so she goes into this tournament clearly in great form, really confident, and like exactly where she wants to be. So
And
yes, I think it's
she was gonna say she has a shot at basically making reaching world
number
number one
one.
for the first time. I think
Yeah.
it's her and three other players, so
Yeah.
herself.
Sabalenka is obviously number one now. So I say so the Sabalenka scenario is that Sabalenka has to win the title and Rybakina has to lose before the semi-final for her to keep it. And that's the same scenario with Goff and Pegula.
Pegula.
If Goff and Pegula win the title and Rybakina doesn't make the semi-finals, that either one of them will be number one. But obviously the ball is in kind of Rybakina's court. She's kind of she has the de destiny in her own hands, I guess. Because if she makes the semi-final, no matter what, then she's number one. So and yeah, obviously yeah, if she final or better as well. And
Can
again,
you
if
remember a time when that's ever happened before, like at a Grand Slam, in terms of number one being on the line as well as obviously winning a title?
Yeah, a few times. Yeah, it happens. Yeah, it's just, I mean, this year it's just interesting how, I don't know, it like at the start of the year, even when Rybakina won the Australian Open and had, Australian Open and WTA finals on her title, on her, on her ranking, it didn't, Sabalenka has been performing at such a consistent level that like it seemed like she'd have to take her game to Rybakina would have to take her game to another level and win a ton. But obviously Sabalenka's been and also it didn't seem like Goff or Pegula
We're anywhere
they
near
weren't
it.
in the picture at all. But Sabalenka's obviously really struggled since winning the Sunshine Double since after winning Miami. Yeah, her form has been poor. Just not to the standard of the standard she set. And so suddenly the door's wide open and players who have been performing well and consistently as Coco has, as Goff has. That now they're in with a shot, so yes, it's big.
I think we should just basically start with the women, like as we've been talking about Goff. So I'm gonna say she's my favorite to win it. I'm gonna say the US Open, just in terms of her form, and just where her game's at as well. Like she seems like she's in a very good place compared to this time last year. So if we just look at her draw, so her first round will be against Zeynep Somyaz of Turkey. And that's the
Yeah.
first round. I think that's a good first round. Somyaz is a good player, but she hasn't had the best results of late. I think she started the season
Yeah.
quite well, but then hasn't like had the best kind of season overall, I would say. So that's a
Yeah.
decent first round for Goff. The
Yeah,
second
and
round,
so,
things get interesting. So you're gonna
yeah.
say it?
I just want to say a funny story about this. Goff and Sonmez were like due to hit together on Friday. Oh no, on Thursday when the draw day was. And like maybe like 10 minutes before the draw came out, or maybe it would have been a bit more. Probably that hit was like at 1 p.m. So just before they saw the draw, they're playing each other. They went and found different partners because, so yeah, that's how it is
Love
in
that.
tennis, you
Fair play. I
know.
mean, it makes sense, no? You want to give anything
Yeah,
away?
yeah.
So yeah, that's going to be an interesting first round. Things get interesting in the second round because it's either Daria Katsikina or Paula Badosa, two former top 10 players, unseeded. Like, I think I would expect Goff to come through pretty comfortably again, but they aren't names you kind of want to see early on, like in a draw. What do you think about that for a second round?
Yeah, no. Again, with the level she's been playing at, like she should welcome, right? She shouldn't be, she shouldn't fear having a, you know, a few tricky opponents. And obviously, like Badosa's been a tough opponent for her. Like she beat her, she beat Badosa beat her earlier this year and during the grass season in Berlin, I think. But again, the level she's been Goff's been playing at, like embrace it. Like it, I mean, and maybe that would have been trickier, like a first round where you're just kind of getting into it, but if Goff wins up get you know gets through her first round and settles into the tournament, then you know the level she's been at, like I mean she should have full faith in herself to continue and continue moving forward.
And then the first seed she can face, if we're going by seedings. In the third round, it's going to be Sarah Bajlić, the is she Slovakian or Slovenian?
Check
Well, she's Czech, my bad.
another check another check.
28th seed, who she beat in Cincinnati. So, but then she's also in the same quarter as Iva Jovic, Alex Ayala. That could be a potential fourth round match. I mean, these are like interesting names, but for me, Tamani, I'm gonna say Goff is gonna, yeah, I think she has a very, very good chance, or she's the favorite, I think, for me anyway, to reach at least the semi-finals slash finals.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely to reach the semi. She's a favorite in her section, in her quarter, in my opinion. But yeah, clearly, and I think she's one of the top tournament favorites. I mean, this is obviously the bottom half is stacked. She, in her again, she's I think she's a favorite in her quarter. The next highest ranked player is Mira Andreeva, 50 French Open champion. The bottom quarter though is stacked, crazy. Swiatek, Rybakina. Obviously, like the big question marks over Rybakina. And also it's relevant to the number one ranking because she hurt her foot in the quarterfinals of Cincinnati, retired from you know earlier in her match against Iga Swiatek. So that's kind of a big deal actually. It could determine a lot if she can't you know if she's not playing at if she's not able to perform at her best level.
Just quickly on my back end, have you seen her like on site?
Yeah, I've seen her on site. She's doing press today. She's been training. I haven't actually seen her train myself, but people are saying she was quite moving a bit gingerly. But I mean, it's hard to tell.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's all just hard. It's hard to you know unless someone's like really struggling, which for example, someone like Casper Ruud was with his back. It's hard, and you know, unless they're like cutting practice short, it's a bit harder to tell like you know where they are. But yeah, so but that bottom half is stacked. There's this. Bottom quarter, sorry, which Świątek and Rybakina could meet in the quarterfinals, but before that, Osaka could meet Rybakina in the fourth round, which would also be massive, given that how well Osaka's been playing. Keys is also in there, Bencic is also in there, so that's a tough one, and so yeah, so for that reason, I think Goff is definitely favourite to make the semi-finals in her section, and Anisimova. Last year's finalist is in there, and she can catch fire at any time. But she has, you know, it's been a difficult. I mean, in general, a difficult year for her. Even though she played a bit better in Cincinnati, made the quarters. But yeah, it's just. I mean, the bottom half is just stacked. So
You
yeah, I'm excited to see it.
mentioned Osaka. She's the 13th seed, so she'll start against Russian Anastasia Zakharova.
Yeah.
Zakharova. I hope I'm saying that
Yeah,
correctly. Apologies.
Zakharova.
Zakharova. Okay.
That's what I said.
So and again, obviously Osaka, like you said, shoots the semis last year. She's also in a good place. I think she's playing really good tennis at the moment.
Yep.
And again, kind of a sneaky kind of pick to go deep again. Obviously, she's got semi-final points to defend. But yeah, I would not be surprised to see Osaka again in the latter stages in New York. Let's kind of roll through the draw now. So Jasmine Paolini, the 19th seed, we haven't seen her since Wimbledon. So
Yeah.
she'll be playing Veronika Erejevic. Don't ask me where she's from. I want to say she's Czech.
Yeah.
Slovenian. Okay.
Yeah, that's what
Slovenian,
I thought.
26-year-old. So again, that's not a bad draw for Paolini to come into first match since Wimbledon, like I've said. Again, I don't really think there's much expectation on Paolini. Like, she's not someone that
No.
puts too much pressure on herself as well. So I think she'll just want to kind of play her way into form, if possible. The next
Yeah.
seed, Madison Keys, 22nd seed, obviously a former finalist in New York. So she'll have Elina Korneva in the first round. Decent first round for Keys. She, like you said, she's is she in the bottom half as well?
I think so,
So yeah, Keys, 22nd seed this
yeah. Yeah, Keys
year.
is in, yeah, Keys in the bottom half, and could play Shilante. She's in, yeah, and she's in Bencic. Could play Bencic in quite early third round,
Oof, yeah,
maybe.
that would be tough because Bencic is a tricky one.
Yeah, and Shilante fourth round. Psh,
And
that'll be
Swiatek,
a
she's
tough.
a player kind of in form as well. She did win in Canada.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like for me, I think the tournament favorites for me are Goff, Swiatek, Pegula, just based on form right now, but those
Yeah,
three.
which makes sense.
Yeah.
Wild card. Let's talk about Venus Williams, two-time champion. So she'll start against another American, Sofia Kenin. Where do you see
Yeah.
that going? Obviously, she's still searching for her first singles win the season, Venus is. Could you see a potential victory there?
I mean, Kenin's been very poor herself recently. I think he's fallen out of the top 100. So, I mean,
Attention, press. Elena Rybakina is on her way to room one now.
Do you want to go to the back of this
Rybakina,
press?
room
I'm
one.
good. I'm good. I'm
good. But yeah. So yeah. I mean, there are. This is a good draw for Venus. Let me say that this is a good draw in Kenin, but it does. I mean, her loss to her, she, her loss. Who did she lose in Cincinnati? Lost 2-2. Or Emiliana Arango lost 2-2. Like that was just tough. Like it just like the problem with, at her age, a year, this time last year when she came back, she was competitive against Mukova. I think she took her to
Yeah.
three sets. It was fun. She's quite dynamic and good, but 1 year. When you're 44, it's a long year, and particularly when you're actually now playing, playing regularly. In theory, you'd think that a player would improve after playing, consistently. But I mean, that's just also more mileage in your legs, more strain. And so yeah, it's been. I mean, it does feel like she's actually the more she's played, the tougher it's become. So
Yeah.
yeah, we'll see. It's Venus Williams, but like my expectations or hopes or whatever are not high in singles. Doubles is obviously a different thing altogether. She's playing doubles with Serena,
Love that.
which is yeah. You want to talk about
We
that? I
will
mean,
in a sec, definitely.
yeah.
I
Okay.
do want to talk about singles first, though. But yeah, I
Yeah,
think you make a
yeah,
good point about Venus in terms of like just the legs, and
yeah.
it
Yeah.
being. Like you said, this is a year on from where she was last year, and it's tough. Like it has been tough as well, kind of watching some of those matches because, like you said, she was competitive in a lot of those matches last year, whereas this year it hasn't really been that hasn't really been the case.
Yeah.
But I think against Kenin, she does have an opportunity to potentially do something in that match. Kenin is obviously she's a Grand Slam champion herself, so it's not like it's going to be easy, but. I feel like that there is a slight opportunity or a slight opening there for Venus. So definitely one to look out for. Just also important now, just talking about the other players in the draw. So Alicia Parks, she's coming off the back of a quarterfinal in Monterrey. So she'll have Taylor Preston, the Australian, in the first round. Things could get
Yeah.
interesting if she wins that first round match because she could potentially play in the second round, Taylor Townsend, if obviously Townsend wins her first round match. Any kind of thoughts on Parks's game, like in terms of like her season so far? Like I feel she's had like a mixed season. Like it's been, I say up and down, like, but she has made, I think this is her second quarter final of the year was Monterrey. So she has picked up wins, but I mean there are kind of, for me, she isn't performing at the level her game The game has more potential than the level she's performing at. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of been her issue in general, right? She's obviously has massive weapons. She's a great athlete. She can do a lot on the court, but altogether and in matches and consistently and also with the kind of top mental toughness and everything, it's been challenging. So, I mean, this is definitely, yeah, this is one of probably, I mean, this is her best tournament of the year. She did well in Madrid, I think, as well, qualifying and winning a round, but making a
Yeah.
quarterfinal, beating Twelinska, world number 21, the third seed in three sets. Like, yeah, that's a positive result coming into this tournament. But yeah, I mean, in general, Parks is just, again, her game has massive upside, but she can just be very, well, quite hit or miss,
Yeah, I think
I
that's a good
mean,
way to put
very,
it.
well, very, yeah. And
It's a good way
so,
to put it.
yeah, so.
Taylor
And
Townsend, who you...
what
Sorry,
like I
go
say,
on.
we'll see like over her career if there's a period where she can start to harness that, the raw ability, the raw power, and kind of turn it into something more consistent.
I was talking to someone actually earlier today. I feel like she's going to be one of those basically. I think her story is going to be similar to Jasmine Paolini. I think later on in her career is when she's really going to kind of see the fruits of her labor in terms of her talent. Like she'll be like a late bloomer, I feel.
Yeah.
But I'll expand on that another time. Taylor Townsend, so the doubles world number two, she'll play French Open runner up, Maya Szczelinska. In the first round, Taylor has kind of a habit of getting tough first round draws at Grand Slams. Like that's a tough draw in terms of being, well, Hlinska is the 20th seed. But in saying that, I do feel like that is a winnable match for Townsend with this being her home Grand Slam. Don't know if you feel any different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this time last year, the first week of the tournament was hers. She was the main character. You remember, like, it's easy to forget, but like this, obviously, she beat Ostapenko. The whole handshake drama after that,
And
it
Dveva.
exploded, and yeah, and but that's the thing. Like, this massive conflict happened. It went viral. Everyone talking about it, and then through it all, she kept on winning, beating top players, and making a deep run. So. She's shown she can perform here, and she's been playing well. In general, she played well in Toronto, won a couple matches, and then had a really tight match against Belinda Bencic. So yeah, I mean, this is definitely a winnable match for her, especially on these courts at home. So yeah, we'll see what she's got, and we'll also see if if she can play freely. If obviously performance over last year. That means point, you're defending that performance, even if players say that, even if they say that isn't the case and they're not thinking about that pressure can kind of
100%.
manifest. So, yeah, we'll see how she deals with that. But yeah, I think it's definitely a winnable match for her.
Definitely. Sloane Stephens, 2017 champion, also a wild card. She'll start against Clara Towson, who's unseeded, which I find unbelievable. That for me is that's a tough draw for Stephens, just because I do rate Towson quite highly. But she's been picking up wins here and there. I mean, she's not inside the top. I think she's just inside the top 200 at the moment. But obviously, her being a former champion, she's been given a wild card, I think rightly so. But yeah, that for me is a tough draw for Stevens. Would you agree?
Yeah. But Towson also hasn't been in, unbelievable form, which is why she's not seeded. So
True.
I mean, tough. Towson's a good player, massive game really, but also I think there could be worse draws. And as you said, she's been playing kind of,
Yeah.
she's been, she in Cincinnati, she won two matches, beat Potapova, world number 25, and had a two really tough sets with Marta Kostyuk, world number 11. So. Like there's the level there,
Yeah.
so which is
I think
yeah, which
she
should
played
be
a
encouraging.
125 recently, didn't she? I think in the lead
Yeah,
up.
she lost in the first round to Saron Gaccio, the
Okay.
Thai player. But yeah, but that's the thing. Like I feel like pretty at this stage in her career, like she'll go. She might go to a 125, and you know how Sloane is. No, but just like it's not. I'm sure it's not incredibly inspiring.
Of course, yeah.
To play Manegachaya, Saron Saren Gacho in the first round of a 1-2-5, but clearly she's up for it in Cincinnati. Big tournament, big players. So yeah, we'll see. I
Yeah.
think she's capable of winning this match, even though it will be tough.
No, definitely. And yeah, qualifier. So big shout out to Robin Montgomery, the girls champion in 2021. So she came through qualifying. And yeah, she'll start against Maria Sakkari, the Greek 31st seed, I want to say. And that is again, that is a
By
obviously
second, but
Sakkari seeded, but again, for me, that is a winnable match for Montgomery. She's also had an up and down year. She did win her first ever WTA Tour title this year in
Stellenbosch.
Stellenbosch. But she's also struggled with injuries as well, like off and on this season. But to come through three qualifying matches like that, that's going to stand her in good stead, I feel, for the main draw. And that match against Sakkari, I mean, Sakkari's not, I don't think Sakkari is going to be looking forward to that matchup. Taking on an American qualifier in New York. Yeah, how do you see that match going? And like, yeah, just in terms of Montgomery, like in terms of, I don't really think there's much expectations on her, but yeah, what would you say about that matchup and just kind of Montgomery's like US Open?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing for Montgomery is that she's obviously comes in with matches, coming through qualifying, getting wins on these courts. I agree, it's winnable. So Sakura's been playing better, obviously, which is why she's
Yeah.
seeded. She's been on a kind of general upward trajectory without doing anything, massively spectacular. But I mean, she's definitely a beatable opponent, and she's still, with Sakura, sometimes she's just tight. Sometimes she, especially like US Open first round, sometimes she just doesn't play freely. Nerves get the better of her. So definitely it's a winnable match. Let's see what Montgomery obviously has a massive game, big lefty, got going big lefty game, like going after the ball, big serve. So again, if she has a good day, if things are firing and she's feeling the ball well and feeling good, then no doubt she's capable of winning this match.
So that could be an early upset there in terms of a seed falling first round. We'll see how that one plays out. And finally, we have a 17-year-old American wild card, Thea Frohden, taking on Alina Rybakina, the second seed, and that's literally right at the bottom to draw. And obviously, like we've kind of alluded to, we don't know what kind of shape Rybakina is in, considering she did retire in Cincinnati, but. Again, there's no expectations there on Frohden. This is her Grand Slam debut. I think this is her probably main tour debut, being a 17-year-old. So what an opportunity for her. And just I don't know much about her game, I'll be honest with you. I know she reached the semi, was it semi-finals in Australia? I think she reached the junior semi-finals in Australia, I think. Well, she went deep in Australia in the juniors. But she did win the American Nationals, which is why she won the wild card into the main draw for the US Open. So again, she's going to be high on confidence, kind of winning matches. But yeah, this is her debut at like the pro level. And I feel like very exciting and kind of in terms of American tennis, like it's just quite nice to see like another young American coming through. Like, and yeah, like now she's going to be playing against one of the world's best.
A big moment for her. As I said, I was amused. I was just like on Instagram earlier today, and someone like posted a picture of her on the practice court and tagged it as Naomi Osaka,
Oh
and then she jumped in the comments like, "I'll take it," which is
my
funny.
Wow. I
But yeah,
mean,
she's
they don't really look alike. I mean,
no.
like
It, yeah. But yeah. Yeah. A big moment for her. Big stage is probably gonna. Yeah. You think it was gonna be a massive court.
you would
So
think,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So but yeah, a big opportunity to show everyone what she's capable of. And yes, as we say, like it's unclear what condition Rybakina will be in, so I think that there'll be a lot of eyes on that because it could determine a
Compare
lot
that, yeah.
of, with the number one ranking.
Just before you move on to the men, you kind of alluded to it, but who would you say is the favorite in the women's draw?
Yeah, as I said, I think Goff Świątek and Pegula. I don't know why I said that. And I think to me those are the just based on form, like those have they have to be considered the leaders of this big pack of elite players. Sabalenka, I'm never gonna like say, count Sabalenka out. She's a two-time champion, having won the last 2 years, still world number one. And I do think like, this situation where she's, after being so comfortable at number one for so long, that now it's completely at risk and not in her hands. Maybe this will be a bit freeing for her. Maybe it will make her play, maybe just knowing that the girls are at her door, the play her rivals are at her door, and maybe she'll play freely or what, either play freely or she'll
Do the
play
opposite.
proudly, proud or play proudly, or be like, I am not letting, even if they take my number one ranking, they're not going to take my US Open title. So I think she's still in it. And but yeah, I think those three are the main ones. And I mean, of course, if Rybakina is healthy, then she's in that. I think she's in that top group as well. What as in with Świątek and Goff, because she'd also started to play well. It'd been like a bit of a dip in the summer, but then obviously she made the Toronto final, lost to Świątek, and then was in the quarterfinal against Świątek when she got injured. So, and but the thing is, women's tennis right now is so competitive. Like the entire top 11 has a WTA 1000 title or above.
That's crazy.
So yeah, so like for anyone who, any of those players who happen to be in the mix, like it's not a massive step up to what they've achieved already. Whether that's Mira Andreeva, French Open champion, that's Noshkova, Wimbledon champion, Mukova, Wimbledon finalist,
Like the
and I think
clients, yeah.
she won Dubai or Doha. Well, yeah, she
Yeah,
won a
beat Mboko,
1000 at
yeah.
least. Yeah, and then Svitolina, obviously Rome champion, and since performed so well for so long, and Anisimova, last year's finalist, Kostyuk, the Madrid champion and semi-finalist over the last few times. So yeah, there's a lot of players with a shot here.
In
And
contention, 100%.
obviously, like beyond that, I'm really interested to see Naomi Osaka how she does. She's been so she did her press today, and it's funny. So when today, like I came in pretty early because Artifis was doing his press, and I came in just as Osaka was. So this was early. This was really early. Feast was early. So it must have been like 9:45, and the grounds weren't open to the public yet. And Osaka was doing her walk around the grounds in heels in a dress for the next photo shoot. And I didn't. I thought about like calling her out, but I was like, let me just let me. I was just kind of because I was going in the same direction. I was just observing, and she, yeah. But then afterwards,
Did
she's
she
like.
see you? Probably did, no?
No, she didn't. She didn't. I kept
Okay.
quiet. I thought about like calling her out. I was like just behind her, but I just wanted to observe, be a journalist for once. But so in her press, she said that she's just been going to, like, in the mornings before the grounds open, she's just been going to different parts of the stadium and taking photos there. So like one of the first ones was the media center, which as you know is not the prettiest place in the world. I'll tell you
She made it
that.
look
She did it.
elegant.
Yeah, but it's not like it's, she found inspiration in a place that is not inspiring at all. But yeah, she said so today she'd gone to the kitchen of the concession stands, and she was like,
Okay.
it's a lot cleaner than I thought, basically.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's all to say. Osaka's obviously playing really well at Wimbledon. She was playing really well in Toronto until she, in the quarterfinals against Rybakina, a match she should have won, had tons of chances, couldn't get it through. But she's, the level's there and she knows it, I think, which is part of the reason why she opted not to play in Cincinnati. And she
Which I
said
think was
also
very
that,
smart, by the way. Yeah.
but she said also that she said her, she's a part. Tennis is her side hustle at this moment, this
Oh,
time,
damn.
these days. No, but like being a mother is her main job. And
Oh, of
her,
course. Okay.
she said my daughter needed me, so that's why I didn't play Cincinnati. So, but also, I think she knows like she's won a lot. She's performing at a high level. This is her surface. Like she's coming into the U.S. Open, where she's a two-time champion,
Yeah.
like very, very comfortable and feeling herself. She has, I mean, as a result of kind of being up against Rybakina fourth round potentially. This is a very tough draw, and Rybakina fourth round, but potentially Świątek quarterfinal, and then potentially Goff semi-final. That would be the tough run through. So brutal, but she's playing such great tennis that yeah, I'm curious to see how far she goes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well said. Just on the men then. So let's start at the top. So Felix Auger-Aliassime is the third seed. Again, semi-finalist last year, playing pretty good tennis at the moment as well. So yeah, he's in that top half, and he'll start against the Australian Vinky Hijikata. Literally this time last year, Felix was in a completely different place, like 25th seed. Reaches the semi-finals. I think he got wins over Alexander Zverev, Alex Dimonor, and it was Andre Rublev as well.
Like
So,
that 10th. Yeah.
yeah, like so, and it was great, obviously. But like we were there last year, like to kind of witness that, and then lost to Sinner in the semi-finals in four sets. I think it's important to say. But just in terms of Felix's game, like I feel like again he's one of the contenders. He's the third seed, like third favorite to win the tournament. And obviously there's no Sinner. Alcaraz is the second seed, but he hasn't played since what, April, I'm gonna say. So
Since April,
did this again is a big opportunity for someone like Felix. Just what do you think about his draw and just kind of yeah his season so far?
it's been an interesting one because he obviously had this time last year, the US Open was such a massive breakthrough, and really kind of catapulted him, to I mean, even to a position in the ranking he had never been at before, right? Breaking into the top five, and now like he's one of the top, particularly given like the absences at these tournaments. He's been one of the top seeds at a lot of these events. I mean, he was the second seed in Cincinnati, which is crazy if you think about it. But it's funny, like at the same time, like that's happening. Like he wants more, and I think rightly so, and so. Obviously a big moment for him was the at Roland Garros, where there was so much opportunity in the top half, with Sinner's early loss, and he was the highest ranked player, and he had a chance there, and kind of after taking the first set against Kobolli, kind of meekly fell away and lost, and he left that match saying, "I'm not the player I thought I was, or that I want to be. I'm not progressing in the way that I envisioned myself. Other rivals are like better than me, essentially, or doing bigger things than me, and so I need to make a change." And the change is clearly, to me at least, he's very, with Felix, he keeps his cards close to his chest, but to me, that was clearly the moment he decided that he was going to split with Fred Fontan, his
Switch it
coach.
up.
But obviously, given how like quick the grass season comes, he kept he they maintained that relationship 10 year coaching partnership until after Wimbledon, where he made the quarterfinals again. This time, it was by no means like a gag, or him, being too tense. But he lost in five sets to Novak Djokovic, and that was brutal in a
No
different way.
shame in that at all.
No shame in that at all. But again, like he, this is the this is he thinks, and rightly so, that he's in his prime now. He's not a young player. He's still young, but he's not teenage Felix. This is where he needs to be playing his best tennis and competing for slams. This is, so I think this is a big moment in his career. He still hasn't, he's not yet. He doesn't, he hasn't kind of agreed the new coach or announced the new coach.
Because
I think
his
it's been
dad, did he
it's
say
big.
his dad's going to be coaching him for the rest of the season?
His dad's with him right now. I think he said he's going to make a choice after the US Open. But I don't know what the time frame is, but his dad's with him now, and the rest of his team. But yeah, I do think that he obviously, so in Cincinnati, he was completely outplayed by TFO, but he also didn't play well at all. But yeah, he didn't have any answers, and he also had a tough one in Canada at home. Of course, he couldn't play because
Pulled that, yeah,
he
true.
had like a stiff back or something. Well, he had a stiff back, but. But he clearly he's the last few slams, although not ideal, he's made consecutive quarterfinals, and so yeah, I'd see him. It's not an easy draw though. Could face Menchik or Tien, both really tough young players in the fourth round, I believe.
And then the quarterfinal, that's the one I want to see again, according to seeds, if we do get that.
Yeah,
That
Kibali
I want to
or
see that
French.
match, Tamani. I really
Yeah.
do. Because I feel like the French Open,
Yeah.
like you mentioned, that one was tough to it was a tough one to witness. And I feel like he, like you said, he was distraught afterwards because he definitely thought he should have won that match in terms of on paper, he's the better player. But yeah, it didn't play out that way. But I am gonna say if that happens again in New York, if we get that match up, Felix is the favorite for me. Just
Yeah,
because I feel
I
like
mean that.
he's learned from that.
On the surface as well. It's a
And on
different
heart,
match.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I think he's, you know, it's been like in a weird way. It's been a tough, been a challenging summer, even though it's not, you know, things aren't going horribly wrong. But just because he wants more, and he you know, he's not happy with where he is, even though he's the third seed here.
Crazy,
But
yeah.
yeah, I think he's, yeah, he's more than capable of having another deep run here. And I mean, and once again, there's massive opportunity here. The top seed is Zverev, who, as we said, he beat here last year, and everything else is up for grabs, really. So, yeah, let's see. Out of all of these players, who's kind of ready and willing to and able to step up
Step
and
up,
take advantage
exactly.
of the fact that Jannik Sinner isn't the top seed in this half.
On that, Ben Shelton, the eighth seed, number one American, I think it's important to say as well. That title does switch around quite a lot between him and Fritz.
Yeah,
But yeah, he's
every
currently
damn
is
day.
the number one American. Canadian Open champion, obviously, as well. So he's one of the informed players. Had a third round loss last year. It was tough. He retired last year, didn't
Yeah,
he?
retired due
A
to
huge
shoulder injury.
injury, which was tough to see.
Yeah, brutal. He left the court in tears.
Yeah. And then fast forward 12 months, he'll have Talon Griekspoor, the
I
Dutch
can do like
world number
four.
56 in the first
Yeah,
round. I feel that's a good.
tough first round.
It's a tough first round, but I do also feel like it's a good one because he'll be able to kind of play himself. Griekspoor's a talented player. He's also got some big wins this year. I think he beat Zverev in Canada, didn't he? I think
Yeah, he beat Raul Campbell, yeah.
in the summer. But again, he's been streaky too. He's not had the best of seasons, and he can kind of fall off
And
the boil quite quickly. And I do
yeah,
think
he was also
Shelton.
he.
Go on.
No, go on. No, I was just gonna say he also got he was injured in Cincinnati, had like an abdominal sprain, so his condition's also not clear.
As in Griekspoor.
Weeks for you.
Okay. And I also feel like Shelton in New York is a different kind of prospect because, again, this is a tournament he kind of lives for or looks forward to in the season, it being the home slam. And he's had good results here before as well in the past. I think he's reached the semi-finals in the past or previous years and the quarterfinal as well, most recently. So, yeah, I feel like Shelton has a very, very good chance. And again, he's the eighth seed. Like, he's one of the favorites to win this thing. Would you not agree?
I think, but I think like with the men's draw, it's so open
Yeah.
that the group of favorites is like,
It's
it's
wide.
massive. Yeah, it's crazy, especially with obviously with Sinner not being here and Alcaraz coming back in his first tournament after 4 months, 4.5 months out. Like,
Yeah.
it's anyone's really. It's any, you know, whoever of the top players of the, you know, top 15, whatever, whoever's like locked in again. There's going to be a ton of pressure. There's going to be a ton of, you know, it's about who's like can take the opportunity and really find a way to play their best tennis through the pressure. Whoever does that, like, and there won't, you know, there's going to be many of these players are not going to handle it well. Whoever handles it well, it has a great shot at either winning or at least kind of competing for being there on the final Sunday, competing for this title. So, and Shelton's definitely one of them. It's a,
Yeah.
I mean, it's an, it's from this perspective, it's a nightmare draw, of course, because he's the two champions in Cincinnati, you know, in Canada and Cincinnati,
Sections,
Shelton and
crazy.
Feast.
Yeah.
But you know, great friends. They've been drawn in the fourth round, like to protect the play job in the fourth round. So yeah, that's a bit, that's a, you know, in a really open draw, that's a bit of a brutal draw for both of them.
That's a tough one to call as well, because like you said, exactly, they are literally the two champions from Canada and Cincinnati respectively. Like, oh, am I going to say this? I feel like whoever wins that match is going to reach the final. I'll say that. I'll say that. And that's what I'm going to say. On to Feast, the temp seed, even though he's the world number 11, obviously, like you said, because there's no sinner, he does move up a spot in terms of seedings. A top 10 seed at a Grand Slam for the first time. Look at Arthur Fils. So he'll start against Stefanos Tsitsipas in the first round. That is a that's
Big
a
match.
crazy first round, considering Tsitsipas is the former world number three, and the Grand Slam finalist as well, like in his career. But again, I think Fils has a winning record against Tsitsipas in terms of head-to-heads. I'm again. I feel like Feast is going to definitely reach the second week. Just what was he like in press actually earlier today? Because you mentioned that you went to his press conference this morning.
Yeah, just chill. He seems I was, so after the well, he seemed very tired, by the way, like, because it was 10 a.m. He looked like he's just woken up.
Was it in the main room or one of the small rooms?
It was in the main room, but there weren't so many people there because of the time, just
Okay.
because of the time. But yeah, he was relaxed, I thought, because it's interesting. In tennis, you win the biggest tournament of your career, massive deal, but then he had one day to celebrate, basically, and then he had to lock in.
Crazy.
And the next day, on the Tuesday, he was training with Alcaraz, and you have to lock in for a slam. So, yeah, that. But all things considered, I mean, it's also been quite a long week, and in terms of, like, he still had, probably, even though he's been training and preparing for this tournament, he's had time to kind of, wrap his head around it and move on mentally. So he seemed like he was just ready. Right? And he said that, it's just, I think, as I said, like, this is his, he hadn't completed a Grand Slam tournament healthy, since, until, Wimbledon was the first time
Wimbledon,
he'd done
yeah.
that since the US Open 2024.
Wow, yeah.
He'd been injured. So, like, if just thinking about it, he'd missed Australian Open this year, he missed US Open last year, missed Wimbledon last year, he had to, obviously, he missed Roland Garros this year, and he retired from Roland Garros last year, retired in Australian Open last year. So US Open
Yeah.
2024, two years, and obviously at Wimbledon this year, like, coming into it, he was just trying to be there. He'd been injured at Roland Garros. He wasn't, he was just he wasn't in his top physical shape. So, like, this is really, like, the first slam in forever where he's really physically prepared. And we'll see again. Like, obviously, his body still, until, there's a long period of him, performing at the highest level, and week, just week after week without any issues, his body's still going to be a question mark. But yeah, it's the first time where he's really been truly prepared for a tournament. So it's a, he's got a hell of a draw, even though, Tsitsipas obviously hasn't been playing his best. He lost early in Winston-Salem just this week, but it's Tsitsipas, right? So Fils has a hell of a draw, but it's also the type of kind of tournament that will, where we'll, I think we'll learn a bit about him, and he'll learn a bit about himself. So
Yeah,
I'm excited to see how it goes for him.
definitely. And then just below Feast in terms of seedings, it's Francis Tiafoe, the 11th seed, two-time US Open semi-finalist. So yeah, Tiafoe will take on the fellow American, actually, Martin Dam, who he actually beat in the second round last year. So it's funny that they meet again so early, or yeah, just meeting again at the same event. Dam's a good player, actually. Again, he's been getting some good results of late as well. He was also in Winston-Salem this week. Big serving American. But again, I feel for TFO, just in the form that he's in, that he kind of showed in Cincinnati. I'm expecting him again to kind of not cruise through to the second week, but yeah, make the second week with little fuss. Is that fair?
I mean, definitely not obvious. With Francis, I'm still like, I try not to expect from him, but he's also, like, as prepared as he has been for a tournament like this, given just the way he's been playing all year. And yeah, he's, I mean, he should do for sure. just based on his form, based on his level, based on his you know, his just mentality and the way he's been applying himself every week. Like, yeah, again, yeah, he should do. That's what I say. I think he has everything in his power to do that. And yeah, I think it would. Yeah, I think it would be ma also massive for him to, even though he's obviously performing incredibly well here in the past, but after what he's done this year, to come here and perform, like, you know, to do what he, you know, to perform at a high level and make a really deep run here. So let's see what he's got.
The first seed he could face, according to seedings or projected seedings anyway, is Valentin Vacheron, the Monegasque, in the third round, the 22nd seed, and then he's also in the same section as the former champion Daniil Medvedev, so that could be a potential fourth round match, which is tough. But I just feel like TFO is playing like very, very good tennis right now, and I feel like if that matchup does happen with Medvedev, depending in, I think Medvedev's form is a bit more, it's less dependable at the moment, just in terms of the way he's been playing. If but if, I'm saying if that matchup does happen, I'm expecting Francis to come through. Probably won't be straight sets, but yeah, I would make him the favorite against Daniil Medvedev, even though Medvedev is a, I think it's a seventh seed, I think. So yeah, we'll see how Francis fares. And just lastly, so Gael Monfils, who you've seen doing his last media rounds, the wild card again, rightly so, I'm going to say, playing his final US Open. He'll take on Adolfo Daniel Vallejo. Is he Peruvian?
He's from Paraguay.
Is that the guy that Moise Kwame played at French?
He at the French. He,
Yes.
yeah. He's Paraguayan, and Busse is Peruvian.
That's I'm getting yeah, because Busse's a seed. But yeah. This again, it's a free hit for the month. I mean, I don't think there's much expectations in terms of like what he's kind of looking for. Like this is kind of a last kind of goodbye, like to the New York crowd. He's reached the
The
semifinals
Grand
before,
Slam tennis, really.
and and this is exactly yeah. Do you not think he might come back, or do you think that's it? He's
No,
done.
he's won four matches this year. So I guess, you know, I think he knows it's time. I mean, he's still capable of, like, it's crazy. Like, so he turns 40 on the day of his match.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of crazy how. So his 1st of September, his birthday. It's kind of crazy just how well he still moves. Like mixed doubles. I know we're going to talk about doubles, but oh my God, do you saw the point? Oh my God.
Nuts, nuts.
When like I always, like, at any time. So this is the point. He was playing alongside Nina Svitolina
His wife,
against his wife, and against Kolaskova and Siniaková, I think
it's in
it
Yakova,
was.
yeah. The tops, well, I think they were the top seeds, yeah.
Well, they won the top seeds. They're the world number ones. Well, they won. No, sorry. Patton and Siniaková were the world number ones. They weren't the top seeds because they came through qualifying, but they're the world number one doubles players. And for always, like, whenever a player, like, goes up to the net and smashes the ball down, smashes the smash down, like, directly into the ground, and it bounces up. In my head, I'm always like, you know, imagining a player, like, sprinting after a ball and you know, right into the corner of the court, and, you know, catching it and getting it back. And of course, who's the person who does that? It's Gael
Gael
Monfils. They did exactly
Monfils.
that. Again, 30, almost 40 years old,
Unbelievable
sprinting, you know,
athlete.
running that fast. And then he, like, after that, he had, you know, so he got that, he retrieved the smash with a great lob back in the point. The next shot, he just cracks a forehand winner. And that's what I said this to someone else, like, you know, Gael Monfils, like, when a hot shot is on the line and it's time to convert that into, like, an all-time, you know, legendary point, it's like Rafa Nadal at Roland Garros. Like, he will not miss. You are not, like, he is not
You
losing that point. He is locked in like nothing. So that was even almost even more impressive to me. Like, he made that crazy get, but then he stepped up and then cracks the
I'm on the
forehand.
point,
Like,
yeah.
yeah, a lot of players also would, like, you know, when that happens, they'll, you know, they'll know it's like the they want this highlight point, and then they'll miss something. But he, yeah, it was so good, and he's so good, and he's
Unbelievable.
so. And I say, like, with Gael, like, he's, that's, you know, as I said with Feast, like, Gael's the loveliest guy, man. Like, he's so pleasant. Like, I have, you know, nothing but positive things to say about him. haven't seen him around for a while, and he's always incredibly warm. You speak to him, and he's really engaging. But also, speak to interviews, he's really engaging. See him in the corridor, he's super, super pleasant. So, like, what a guy, man. Like, there've been times in his career when, people were, I'll never forget. Sorry, there have been times in his career when people criticize him for, this whole thing about, whether or not he reached his potential, and, the fact that there are other players who, were mentally stronger and better in the big moments, whatever. And I think the thing that came to my mind was when he made the semifinals here, played Djokovic, and like at some point during the match, when I think he knew he wasn't going to win, he started, I think it was like he started like returning from really like inside the baseline,
Yeah,
like
just going
returning,
there.
like,
It's like...
yeah. And I remember like someone was like one of the there was some like American pundit who kind of ESPN thing was like, it's so disrespectful, that kind of thing. And whatever, man, I don't care. Like he's brought so much joy to people with his tennis, and he's ever since I've been coming to tennis tournaments, he's been one of the biggest draws on these grounds. He's practicing, people flock to see him. Like and again, it's been like this whole time, whether he wins, whether he loses, whether he's not played Djokovic and lost, three match points against him and lost, or what, whether he's Djokovic is a good example, whether he's lost his 20th match in a row against Djokovic or something.
Crazy.
Like the vibes are immaculate with this guy. Like he's been so,
All the
he's been
time.
such a
Yeah.
such positive energy, and obviously, these are competitions and it's about winning, and they're here to win titles. But for me, like the more I'm on this tour, and the more I'm around, I see these players and these people, like, and in general in life, obviously. But like the most important thing to me is just being a pleasant person, man. And being, being good at tennis is one thing, but like treating people well is another. And he's always done that. So like, I could talk, for a million years about
So well
Monfils
said
and
to
how
my man.
happy
Honestly, I love that. I was getting like emotional there, thinking that because
he
I honestly, I'm sad that I'm not in New York this year because yeah, I would love to see Gael Monfils for one last time at a Grand Slam, and I'm sad I'm not able to see that. And yeah,
Yeah.
we weren't given an opportunity at Wimbledon because he wasn't given a wild card. But yeah, like I think you lay that out brilliantly or perfectly in terms of just the joy he brings to the court every time he steps on it, and like the crowd, like regardless of the result, people are entertained watching Gael Monfils, and he's definitely
Yeah.
going to be missed when
Yeah.
he does go. So
Yeah.
yeah, massive
And
shout out
I've
to Gael Monfils for the
yeah.
month.
And I think like the fun thing as well of this year, as we see with like the Feast and TFO, performance as well, is that you're seeing like the players themselves. Like it's something at least we always knew. I always knew, like having watched tennis for so long, and how like how kind of
Can
significant
be
the presence
pressed
of
on that Anissimo, but
Unisimo is becoming.
the
Anyone
way
wants to,
one now,
just
Anissimo,
how
but one
like influential and important it was to see, like growing up, to see TFO and sorry, to see Monfils and to see Tsonga as well, at the top of the sport for so long. And it's been cool to just see, like, because there are like numerous black players at the top of the game, for them to be able to kind of to show that, and to say that, and to say that, and to put on record. We saw it with Naomi Osaka, who now just calls Monfils the GOAT again, because of how, how important he was, seeing him when he was playing when she was growing up. Same with TFO. Like I think I told I probably like one of the last times I was on the podcast, I told you about, like, I was interviewing TFO at Madrid one year. We were like doing like a walk and talk interview, like where we're walking and we're speaking, chatting,
Yeah.
walking around the grounds, and he was just talking about how great Gael was. And then it's almost as if he summoned Gael, because Gael, like, we turn a corner and Gael is standing there, and he comes over and they have this whole like banter and thing. And it was just, and then afterwards, like, talked even more just about how great Monfils is. And so you see that with, again, with Francis, with Naomi, and obvious one with Feast. They were both asked about each other today, and Feast calls Gael his big brother, Gael calls Feast his little
Oh.
brother.
It's
And I mean, their surnames are, my
very
son and
similar.
son. So,
Is it Feast's son in French, isn't
yeah, Feast's son, yeah, and Monfils,
it?
my son. That's all to say, like, yeah, he's been here for so long, and he's one of the coolest. You know, he's just he's that guy, man.
Indeed.
It's gonna be very pleasant to see him here. It's gonna be pleasant to see him, you know, just you know, his career is winding down now, and he'll get a big climax in at the Paris Masters as well, of course,
It's going to be very
in
special
his
actually in
home city.
Paris. And lastly, another Frenchman, so Giovanni Petit-Pericard, who's currently outside the top 100 at the moment. So the 23-year-old, he'll play the, who is he playing? Sorry, an Austrian qualifier. So it's Juraj Vodanov.
Yeah, ready enough, yeah.
And that's a first round for Petit-Pericard. Again, he's not had the best of seasons. Like he, I don't think he's won a match or main draw match since, was it Stuttgart? Basically, the grass court season.
In a minute.
It's been a while. So yeah, he's had a tough time, but at the same time, again, the game is big.
Mean, yeah. Yes, you're right, since Stuttgart, when he made the quarters.
It's been a tough season. But yeah, the fact that he's in a Grand Slam against a qualifier in the first round, massive opportunity for Petit-Pericard. And I feel like, yeah, if he can get a win here, a potential second round with Gael Monfils, if Monfils does win his first round match, that could be a second round match, which would be pretty special.
For sure.
And I mean, just in terms of Petit-Pericard, I mean, there's not really much to say. Like you said, he's not won that many matches this year, but a
It's
big
been
opportunity for him in New York.
and it's been, yeah, it's a big opportunity. It's been, as you said, it's been tough. He hired Greg Wasowski as his coach, and so far hasn't had the, you know, hasn't had the results he wanted. Obviously we're in Petri, the, you know, he's the best server in the world, and the challenge with him is you know, finding the, you know, bringing the rest of his game to a level where, you know, it can kind of complement that, you know. And there've obviously been periods where, you know, he's played some great tennis, especially like indoors, you know, a couple of years ago.
That's when he won a
And
couple of titles, yeah.
one bar, I think, I want to say. But like, yeah, and for him, I think, you know, and he's played some great tennis. He played really well against Djokovic earlier this year, if you remember.
The French.
But yes, I think like his best tennis is when he's just going after it, right? I mean, he kind of has to, you know, follow up the big serve by just kind of balls to the wall, got, you know, going after opponents. And yeah, I think so in that sense, maybe he'll be, you know, through his career, he might be quite streaky, and, you know, and more suited to faster surfaces. But yeah, I definitely, I think, he, you know, falling out of the top 100 is not, you know, he is looking for to bounce back and to find his way again,
And
as you said, this is a big opportunity.
I don't think he'll be outside the top 100 for that long. I feel like, yeah,
No.
he'll be back inside in very,
Yeah.
very quick time. That wraps up the draw in terms of, well, from a backspin perspective, who are your favorites kind of in the on the men's side, Tamani, like looking at the draw and like what we've broken down?
I mean, my real answer is that I don't have a
It's
damn
wide
clue.
open.
It's so
Anyone
wide
can
open.
get it,
Yeah, I find
literally.
that I'm like obviously, I mean, all eyes are on Alcaraz, because, I mean, again, we haven't talked about doubles yet, but he was not the best player on his in his team in the mixed doubles. In the mixed doubles, not even not men's doubles, mixed doubles, alongside a certain 44-year-old person who has bet. It's only just coming back after being away for 4 years, but so and I mean, with Alcaraz, he's not a good doubles player, or whatever, or not an experienced doubles player. But I was more concerned and interested in his decision, like the way he was serving. He was being really cautious with his serve, not really going after it, and that could have just been a thing because it's doubles, whatever. But and I actually saw him train today, and he was going after the serve a bit more, training with Khachanov. But yeah, I'm curious to see, like, in singles, how, you know, if he's really going at 100%, or if he's still cautious and scared of really, you know, of doing something that over the course of, you know, potentially several best of five set matches could, you know, could be too much too soon for his wrist. And as he said, like, Alcaraz was asked, like, can you win this tournament in Spanish? And he said, so many players have shown that after long layoffs, you can win Grand Slams. Nadal, Federer, and he's right. But yeah, still waiting to see just where, what his level is, where he's at. I think it's a big unknown, so we'll see. And, but aside from him, I think obviously Zverev is, given how he did in at Roland Garros, deep side, he's going to be he has to be one, up there as one of the favorites for this tournament, the top seed. But aside from that, it's a free for all.
It's
Again,
wide open, yeah.
there's so many good players who are capable of winning one of these tournaments on a good day. So we're all capable of beating, the rest of the field in, that's present here on a good day. So yeah, it's really about who handle who has their ish together in these moments when they're going after, some of the most, what could potentially be the most significant moment in their career. So it's gonna be it's interesting. I'm excited to see how it unfolds.
Same, yeah.
Just because, after so many years of men's tennis of being dominated by three players, and then with only Wawrinka or Murray really being the only players who could kind of get a regular look in, to then two players, taking over. Here it's a free for all. So let's see what
It may,
happens
it does make a
in the
change,
in.
and exactly like you said, it's exciting, and I feel like that is something we need to kind of be mindful of. Like, exactly, for a long time it's literally just been two guys, and now, like, literally it's wide open, and I feel like that is something the sport has needed for a long time, and I feel like we should be very grateful for that on the men's side. So
Yeah.
yeah, let's see how it plays out. But yeah, we've been kind of dropping it in here and there, but we do need to talk about the doubles. So Serena
Yeah.
Williams is back playing the US Open for the first time since, was it 2023? She said goodbye.
2022.
22. Wow. So yeah, she'll be back playing doubles, not singles, with big sister Venus. So they've been given a wild card again, rightly so. I'm very excited for this because obviously it was meant to happen at Wimbledon, but it didn't, due to Serena picking up that injury in her or after her first round defeat. Well, you weren't in New York for the doubles, were you? The mixed doubles.
No, yeah, I missed that. I went back to London for a couple of
Of
days.
course, yeah. But just
Yeah.
in terms of like the, I guess there's been kind of excitement around like the grounds, like because obviously Serena's around. Just yeah, how kind of excited are you to see her back, like, and playing doubles? Because me personally, Tamani, I do feel like I am more excited about the doubles return than I am the singles return. I'll say that.
Yeah. For sure, yeah, and me too. Because, it's been in, it's been fun. I think honestly, I think this summer has been fun. It's been fun to see Serena back. It's she was away for 4 years. She's been, well, first of all, she's taken up so much energy and so much, so many of my thoughts, so much time just over the years from when I was a fan, like watching, I've said this a few times to other people, but like watching the O2 Wimbledon final between Venus and Serena, that whole period when they were playing in all the finals, and watching on tape and rewinding the tape, like the video, the VHS, and watching it so many times that you know all the like what the commentators are saying from that until her playing, and all the dramas and greatness and everything that came with her career. It's just so funny to see her back. Like, it was, I don't know, it's just there's this funny thing that you just remember about the way she is, and the uniqueness of,
I was
the
just going to
unique
say
way
the
she
word
is.
unique because exactly, there's no one like her,
Yeah,
literally.
not no one, yeah, and even not even her sister. So, but yeah, so it's been fun. Like I obviously it ended badly, not in with the loss, but with the knee injury that followed
Injury,
the Wimbledon her first round loss there. But like it was fun. That was fun, and particularly as I'm enjoying it because I mean, she very clearly stated, she said this, she played with Venus in Cincinnati and they lost in the first round, that yes, in the past she came to these tournaments to win. It was all about winning. Anything but that, was a failure to her. Reaching the final, at 36 years old after having a kid, that was still not good enough for her. But now it's completely different. She's here just to have fun. She's here to enjoy it, to show her kids what she does. And I, so whatever. Like I know that like I've just enjoyed seeing her and see like getting to see her serve again. That one of the greatest shots of all time. Getting to see even like in yeah again in Wimbledon, like when she, just seeing her fight back and force the third set and gritting and fist pumping. Like it's I don't know. Would I like to see it for an extended period to the point where, and potentially she's losing a ton? No, but I also think like Venus and Serena are very different. And I don't think Serena would ever stand for, like she's here for a good time, not a long time, basically. And
Yeah, I completely agree.
she's not gonna put herself through like however many losses, like 11 losses in a row, like, in the singles as well. And I think actually the thing that really showed this is the fact that she had this really bad experience at Wimbledon, just with again with the knee, her getting injured. She was, taking out all this fluid from her knee, like there's all these syringes with all the fluid from her knee. Nastiness, yeah,
Crazy.
I see your face. But from that onward, like after that, she decided, no, I'm gonna just play doubles at the US Open, mixed doubles as well. Don't try and, obviously if 10 years ago and that situation has happened, she's gonna push herself and try and be ready for singles. But like if her like she says her goal here is just to have fun and enjoy herself, then I think she kind of showed that that's the truth, I'm it's seeing Venus and Serena playing doubles together is also really like it's just special, man. It's even back in the day when they were world number one and number two, I always remember like I'm pretty sure I saw them at Wimbledon one year when they were playing doubles on one of the smaller courts with a ground pass back when they were probably number one and number two or close to that. And the difference between the reception they got when in singles where fat crowds were often so often rooting for their opponents and rooting for the underdogs and didn't know what to think of particularly the dominance of both of them when they played doubles, like it in a weird way. And this is I mean there's a lot to unpack about this and a lot of it isn't pleasant, but like when they played doubles it like humanized them to the crowds and they saw what they saw instead of seeing like Serena the
The
ruthless competitor.
dominant,
They saw
yeah.
they saw two sisters playing together and rightfully so they loved it and so they got a lot of support and so but in general it's just yeah it's really nice to see them playing again together again and yeah I enjoy it and I will enjoy it and I'm I, of course I think the big question is like is this the end point? Did Whether or not it was a plan initially or has morphed into the plan, is the plan now that hey, and I think hey, is it is will US the US Open be the end of both of their careers and they both walk off into the distance hand in hand, having ended their playing careers officially together? I think a lot of people would in it would be a very lovely and fitting ending to their careers. But the funny thing with all of this is that I would back Serena more to do that than Venus, even though
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
even though Serena just got back, and even though it's been so tough for Venus hasn't won a match in I mean since last year when she just came back in Washington, like I guess I'd say I feel like I understand Serena more, whereas Venus is so mysterious and her intentions are yeah she's a bit less. She's less clear in terms of giving an indication of what she
What the plan
wants.
is,
But but just to say that although I wasn't here, just the Serena Alcaraz doubles was that. I mean, that's a great example of just fun. Like it was so they both clearly enjoyed themselves, and it's something that shouldn't have ever really happened. Alcaraz was born in May 2003. In May 2003. In May 2003, Serena, just a couple months earlier, had completed the Serena Slam. She'd won all four. She had in May 2003, Serena had all four slams on her ranking. She was the world number one by a trillion points. Like she was already a dominant player. Like people considered her a veteran. And yet he was born there. He's got to the point where he has seven slams himself, and yet somehow they're playing together. So
It's
that's a
pretty
bit.
special, yeah.
So Yes, it's yeah. It was very cool to witness that, and I mean, and also it was just very funny that Serena played. Not only that, well, it was it was very cool that Serena played so well. Like you could see, like, you know, she'd played a few tournaments before, but the rust is, you know, coming off, and you know, she started to feel herself. She played great at times in those matches. So she played it was Lloyd Glasspool and Erin Routliff, who she's now played in three or
Every
four tournaments.
it was crazy, yeah.
And then they lost to Kuboli and Bencic.
Runner
But
was up.
Serena played well, pretty well in both of them, and especially the first one. It was just fun to see her just crank up. As you know, there was one point where she was there was a tight point that you're bam at 120 mile an hour, ace down the tee, a couple of massive returns, a couple of, you know, yeah, she was just like a couple of, like, at the net, she was poaching, serving, volleying, like, it was just fun.
Do you know, will she do press? Will she schedule, is she scheduled to do press? Probably not.
No, she hasn't done pre-tournament press.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm sure I do think they'll do press after
Probably
the
after the match, yeah.
yeah. But no,
Wow,
she
Tamani,
has.
man. That literally, we've gone through the whole draw there in nearly 2 hours. So massive, massive thank you to you, man, honestly. Because like you said, you're literally coming, we're shooting live from the media canteen.
And
So yeah.
it's the second media day. That's just why I, like, saw Monfils and all these players coming around, but I mean, they've seen me enough. You know, I've seen them enough. So whatever.
So no, man,
No.
big shout out to you as well, because obviously you've been on the road for a minute, like, well,
Yeah.
from Cincinnati. Now you come back, like you said, for a wedding briefly, and then you're now back in New York, so
Yeah.
a lot of time on the road for you.
Mentioned press. Novak Djokovic is on his way to room one
The big
now.
man's on his way to room
And look at
Djokovic to
that, just
room
in time for
one
you to go and see
now. Yeah.
Novak. So massive, massive thank you, Tamani, man. Massively appreciate it. And yeah,
Yeah,
guys,
thank you.
until next time, enjoy the US Open. And yeah, Tamani, again, big thank you, man, for jumping on with me. Appreciate you.
No worries, no worries.
All right, man. Take care, guys.
Yeah, see you soon. Yeah.